Welcome to our Saturday podcast. Really feel honored to have our next guest, a profoundly important man, certainly not only globally, but in the city of Los Angeles. Dr. Patrick Chong is a surgeon, a businessman, a billionaire, a Lakers minority owner since 2010, owner of the LA Times and San Diego Tribune. It should be noted the LA Times coverage has been remarkable since he purchased the paper. He's the owner of NantWorks, a network of health startups, and the inventor of the cancer drug Abraxane. I hope they got that right, which helps fight lung, breast, and pancreatic cancer. Sold multiple drug companies. Born in South Africa, moved to L.A., and has been an enormously important part of our community. Doctor, I want to start with this. You bought St. Vincent's Hospital in Los Angeles specifically for COVID patients, and you're partnering with Microsoft for COVID research. You're also CEO of two companies creating COVID treatments and vaccines. And I want to start with vaccines. I read a bit this morning that the average time between 1998 and 2009 to develop a vaccine on average was just under 11 years. Are the stories and reports that we could have a vaccine in a year or slightly less or slightly more, are those just simply unrealistic going forward?
No, I don't think so. And so let me just explain to you the difference. And it's not just semantics, but many, many years ago, when we were trying to develop vaccines, the method of actually producing them required things like eggs or creating the taking the virus and what we call attenuating or killing the virus, etc. What's happened since then is the advent of genomics. So because we have now the sequence of the virus, there's possibilities of having truly next generation type of vaccines, where the virus, because of its known sequence, could be engineered into different delivery systems and administered to generate immunity. So that kind of technology didn't exist before. Having said that, it's still not a trivial exercise to actually identify the right sequence, number one, and identify the right vehicle to deliver that sequence.
I was reading another story, it may have been from New Scientist, where there's only a 33% success rate of vaccines that even make it into trials. Are you confident today that there will be a vaccine for COVID-19?
Well, I'm hopeful in the sense that on the basis of the science that I'm watching and the science that we're performing inside our own organization, is that out of all the community of scientists, there will be a vaccine. What I'm concerned about is that this is a vicious virus, what I call almost a genius virus, that has all kinds of ways of evading the immune system. So it's built within itself not only the infectivity of getting infected, but it's also built within itself ingenious ways, which we're discovering as we're developing the vaccine, of evading the immune system. So we really won't know even until we injected the first patients. And even the animal studies won't really help us because the animal models don't behave like the human models. So it's much more complex than making blanket statements. Having said that, based on what we do know and the rapid science of us identifying how this virus works in a remarkable short piece of time gives me great confidence that we will find a vaccine.
One of the first things that appeared to be true was that for some reason it was much more punitive, doctor, to older Americans, much less punitive to younger Americans. Now, we know influenza can be very tough on children. What was your initial thought on how it was staggeringly tough on older Americans, not so much so with kids? Did that mean anything to you?
It meant a lot. And because we're watching how this virus works, remarkably, one of the ways it actually replicates or grows inside your human body is that it finds a way to kill the cells that normally protect you, called the natural killer cells. So NK cells and T cells actually deplete as you age. So it wasn't surprising that in the aged population and in the predisposed population, such as diabetic patients, who have a deficient NK cell level as you age, that this virus would attack. So not only does it attack because you have a low NK and T cells, it actually finds a way to kill NK and T cells as it attacks. So that was one of the therapies that we needed to address, is to activate the patient's natural killer cells. And this is no different from cancer. So this is what I said when I looked at this virus. This virus is behaving like cancer. Cancer finds a way to attack your body. Cancer finds a way to evade the immune system. And cancer finds a way to suppress your natural killer cells. The virus does exactly the same, and we can fight it with a molecule that actually activates the NK cells.
One of the things I've noticed, I live in a beach community in Los Angeles, where we've had very low infection rate, really low death rate. We've had no hospital surge as of yet. And I've noticed this in other beach communities. I've noticed this in Florida, where despite looser restrictions, there hasn't been the hospital surge as of yet. Could there be something about the wind next to the water, the vitamin D, the sunlight? This is just something casually I watch. I'm surprised the numbers in Florida are lower. How do we explain Florida? Why does it seem to be more punitive to northern cities in America? Does that mean anything?
Well, I think, first of all, let's talk about California and Los Angeles. Now, I worked with Governor Newsom very early on in February. And I think he made exactly the right decision of shutting down and quarantining, social distancing, not just the community, but businesses early on. Then I worked with him to ensure that we would have healthcare capacity, and that was the basis of the St. Vincent's Medical Center or the Los Angeles Surge Hospital. I think making the right decisions early on has saved so many lives because, as you could see, one, we had a very flattened curve. Two, we did not overtake the healthcare capacity. And three, the surge hospital was there in case that happened. With regard to the beach community, I think it's another reflection of distancing, right? I mean, I know Malibu and I know the areas around, and there are very few people close to each other on the beach. And then sunlight definitely has an effect. This is a what we call an RNA virus with a capsule, and it's not very stable in heat. And so, therefore, sunlight does have effect.
Okay. How do we reconcile the balance between economy and health? I mean, just mental health. 47,000 Americans on average commit suicide annually, with people being shut in, sheltered in, with the social media, a lot of negativity, pessimistic views. I see a mental health crisis growing. How do we reconcile starting the economy, maintaining social distancing during a pandemic? I mean, there's no easy answers, right?
Well, let's just dissect them all, right? I think mental health is clearly an issue that needs to be addressed, but part of that mental health is fear, and fear of the unknown, fear of the unpredictability. And that's why, you know, at the LA Times, we tried to establish a explanation video called The Science Behind Coronavirus, and try and reassure the community that there will be a solution. So I think the first step is to really have some level of reassurance and hope, but not false hope. So the hope that on the one hand we could address treatment, that I think the people, the mental health is the unpredictability of who's infected, but more importantly, will I die because of this vicious nature of this? And now, because we're beginning to understand how patients go into ICU and have 60-70% mortality, that we can mitigate that. That mitigation, in a very short period of time, we've learned, is very real. At the end of the day, for us to get to real normality, is we need a vaccine. And I think this Operation Warp Speed that has now been instigated by HHS and BARDA is exactly the process by which we can get back to work as fast as we can. Getting back to work is really important, but living is probably more important than getting back to work, which means then we need to find ways of testing and controlled access to work, which then turns around, we need to establish testing methods that we can do on a daily basis, because you have no idea, you could be test negative today and be positive tomorrow. And that testing is what we're developing also in Los Angeles, where we can actually establish testing methods equivalent to that to Korea.
Yeah.
So I think it's not a straightforward one-off answer. One, we absolutely need to figure out a way to get the economy back. Two, this is where the government now stepping in, and they are stepping in with trillions of dollars that's being made available to both small business, large business, and the community. And then three, to provide hope and information. And I hope somebody can look at the science behind coronavirus in the LA Times. That's what we've done. And that video is on YouTube, and you can get it's a long series, almost a Netflix-like series. But it tries to provide insight and hope and some level of control. I think feel you can control what you can control, you have less fear, and then you have less mental anxiety. And then I honestly believe December, and maybe even earlier, we'll have a real idea of what vaccine is available. And hopefully a vaccine is available that we can enter into what we call emergency use approval.
Support for The Herd comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home today is so much more than it was yesterday, right? But at Rocket Mortgage, home is still all about you. During these challenging times we're all experiencing, the top priority at Rocket Mortgage is the health and safety of the communities they serve. And while things are changing quickly every day, one thing that never will is their team's commitment to giving you the best mortgage experience possible. That's why if you need mortgage support, their team of experts is there to answer questions and offers solutions. They understand the hardships happening, and they are here to help. Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage. Saving money in your mortgage, finding a new way to navigate payments. Got questions? The team at Rocket Mortgage has answers. They know how important your home is to you, because you are important to them. If you need mortgage assistance, the home loan experts at Rocket Mortgage are available 24/7. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Visit rocketmortgage.com/herd to learn more. That's rocketmortgage.com/herd. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
Dr. Patrick Shong is joining us. When I read about what other countries do, China, South Korea, every country has their laws, rules, and regulations. And when I look at America, there are certain personal freedoms here that Americans expect. And as a global citizen, doctor, do you look at America in comparison to other countries? Is it an advantage or disadvantage going forward on how to govern our country? Do we have too many freedoms for the average citizen, and they're going to push back on government? How does that, in your worldview, is America uniquely qualified or uniquely challenged to battle this going forward?
Well, look at my personal position. I was born in South Africa. I'm Chinese, came to America. I am an American citizen. And I look upon myself as exactly living the American dream. This country is one of the most innovative, most compassionate, most generous country, I think, in the world. And there's no other place I'd want to be. And so we are not only uniquely qualified with the resources and the brain power and the freedom, I think we probably not only are uniquely qualified, we're actually uniquely qualified to lead the world in this pandemic.
Are you concerned when you hear a vaccine could be fast-tracked? Does that concern you at all?
Not at all. It has to be fast-tracked. In fact, as I said, the only way out of this is a vaccine, period. And because of the technology we have the largest machine learning supercomputing platforms. We have the most amazing scientists. We have the NAID that's involved in this, BARDA's involved with this, the resources. If any country could fast-track a vaccine, it'll be this country.
Do you worry about the partisanship getting in the way of
that? I do in a sense, but I think we'll get over that, right? I think we as a nation are so strong. We've got our innovation, our compassion, our leadership. The history of this, we'll get through it. It may have exposed certain things in that are deficient, which are, I've been fighting for 15 years, is really the what I call the integration of the healthcare system. I've been fighting for 15 to 20 years to create what I call the NORAD of healthcare so that we can monitor in real time. That's one of the keys that both Taiwan and Korea had, the capability to monitor your health. If you can do that, then contact tracing becomes an issue and not an issue. And if you do contact tracing and isolation, you don't need to shut down the entire economy. Unfortunately, what this has unearthed is the absence of that infrastructure. And this is what I call the next generation infrastructure of telemedicine, telehealth, the internet, the fiber infrastructure, the supercomputing, all of which we have, but we've not dedicated it to the world of healthcare. And that's, if you look at my history, what I've been fighting for literally 20 years of my life now. But we also have the greatest innovators in terms of science. So taking science, genomics, and what we have, I think we could lead the nation and then overcome the difficult issues that we're facing as we face today.
Doctor, you bought the St. Vincent's Hospital in Los Angeles specifically for this. I've got a handful of friends, ER doctors, a couple of surgeons I know, general practitioners. They have said to me that the hospitals they currently work at are empty. There are COVID patients, but there's no surgeries being performed. The trauma units are empty because, you know, people aren't driving. Bars aren't open. This is an interesting situation, which you have firsthand experience. Are you concerned at all that there are going to be a series or a network of hospitals that are going to go under financially as we battle this because people simply don't want to go to the hospital if they believe there are many COVID patients there?
And completely right. And that was one of my greatest concerns, right? And that's why when I said to the governor, let's create a hospital that is 100% COVID, which is St. Vincent's Medical Center and maybe even Seton or St. Francis. So if we create two or three hospitals that are just 100% COVID and all these other hospitals could send their patients there in real time, many things will benefit from that. Number one, you'll create centers of excellence. You'll have clinicians who are then every day in, day out, understand the nuance of how to manage a COVID patient from a mild to moderate to a patient that's near death. We'll free up then the other hospitals so that they're not concerned about exposure. And we've done that, actually. These hospitals, even our surge hospital, is not full.
Dr. Patrick Shong is joining us, the surgeon, businessman, Lakers minority owner since 2010, owner of the LA Times and San Diego Tribune. I've lived through H1N1 and SARS. This does appear, however, to at least be, if not more deadly, certainly more contagious. Do we know at this point, because so many people have it asymptomatically, do we know if it appears to be more contagious? Is it more deadly?
It's completely more contagious and more deadly. And let me explain why. When SARS-CoV-2, which is this mutated, a few amino acids from SARS-CoV, it became 20 times more infective than SARS. More importantly, this has now taken on this thing called the ACE2 receptor as its mode of entry into your body.
Okay.
Unfortunately, ACE2 receptor is in many cells of your body, in your lungs, and scarily enough, it's actually on your blood vessels. It's in your kidney, your liver, your gut. So when we see diseases like Kawasaki disease, when you see cardiac disease, when you see respiratory failure, now you're seeing pathogenesis that you've never seen before. When you add on top of that it's infective in patients that are asymptomatic days before they have symptoms, and it's infectious 30 days after you have the virus infection, you begin to understand why this is so different and so scary, which means two things is so critical. We need to find testing to test and ensure that the patient is negative, even asymptomatic. And secondly, we need to have a vaccine quickly so we can stop this thing.
Shifting from COVID-19, of the many businesses you certainly could have purchased, when you sold Abraxas and American Pharmaceutical Partners for a combined $9.1 billion, you chose as one of the businesses to purchase the LA Times, the San Diego Tribune, the newspaper business, which, with few exceptions in this country, had been struggling. Why did you choose to buy the LA Times? What about that did you see as a good business opportunity?
I didn't look upon it as a business opportunity. In fact, some of my business friends said they thought I was smart until I did that. And the reason I did that, this is me coming to this country, being so grateful for the freedoms and the ability to actually, not only, I didn't see this as a philanthropic thing to give back, but I saw it as so important to have a paper for the community, and a paper that actually is filled with integrity and providing real information. And I think COVID speaks to that. Despite the fact that we've lost 50% of our revenue from advertising, believe it or not, struggling financially, our editors and editorial staff and newsroom has stepped up. And as you said at the beginning, they've provided amazing information, and it's so necessary. So I think COVID speaks to exactly why we exist and why it should exist, papers like us, throughout this nation.
When you look at going forward as a global citizen, the newspaper and the journalism business, are you concerned they're being limited, it's not as well capitalized, and that the best days of journalism are behind us?
I'm very concerned, and we need to find a way where, one, the public, i.e. subscribers, figured this out with us as newspaper owners. New York Times is surviving now through six million subscribers.
Yeah,
we have 1/10 of that, if not. We relied hugely on advertising revenue, except that's now not only gone to almost to zero, because of the social media, that's been taken away. So I am very concerned, but I think that's why we took on this challenge, in fact. And I'm hopeful that we can work with the Congress to find ways to support these institutions.
How often do you talk to the governor of California or the mayor of Los Angeles in regards to the current pandemic? Are you in daily or weekly briefings and discussions?
Yes, I mean, I'm on text terms with the governor, and I'm on his task force. I've accepted to be on his task force. I've taken on within the task force the subdivision of the task force that talks about what do we need to do to open up businesses urgently. We've been in constant contact with regard to the Los Angeles surge hospitals, both in Northern and Southern California. So no, and then with Mark Galli, the HHS Secretary of California. So no, I think I'm grateful for the fact that we, in close communication, and that he's very proactive and really takes advice to heart.
Let's talk about one industry in particular, aviation flying. LAX is not very far. In fact, you can see it from your LA Times building. With what you know with COVID and its contagious nature, should we shut down air travel for a short period of time? Is it safe to fly, in your opinion?
Well, let me just take it personally. I would not fly, right? And it is no question that the air systems in the that this one sneeze could travel through, you know, 6 to 8 feet in the plane. And I think the epitome of this is the virologist at NBC, who is a virus hunter, as you may know, just came down with COVID a couple of days ago as a consequence of traveling in the plane to New Orleans. So I think, and he had a mask on and gloves on. So I'm unfortunately, confined space like that for a prolonged period of time is pretty high risk.
Doctor, thank you for stopping by. I don't know much about this. I stay socially distanced from everybody but my family. I wear a mask generally in public, certainly in stores. I appreciate you stopping by and answering questions and giving some information to our audience, sir.
You're welcome.
Whether you're working from home or